But I wanted this morning, just before we do turn to the Word, just to think about this verse. Now, whether this has come to me because of the theme at Harrogate this week, but it was, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. And we read in Hebrews chapter 12, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So I just want to begin this morning asking you a question. What would it mean for you today to fix your eyes on Jesus? For some, it might mean that you lift your eyes off distraction. For others, it might be disappointment, fear. For others, it might mean that God's inviting you to trust him again, to continue following him, to take the next step, to surrender to him. And as we're going to turn now to Acts, and we're going to look at the story of Jesus ascending to the Father, I just want you to keep that in the back of your mind. What does it mean for you today? What does it mean as you came in through that door this morning to fix your eyes on Jesus? What's God saying to you today? What is he going to say to you through the Word today? I believe that the Word, you know, Jesus speaks to us through the Word. His Holy Spirit speaks to us. And as we come, you and I, as we come to the Word, what does it mean for me to fix my eyes on Jesus on this Sunday morning? What does it mean for you? What will it mean for the week ahead as God is speaking to you? What does it mean for you to fix your eyes on Jesus? I'm going to ask Sharon to come. She's going to be reading from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. Thank you, Sharon.
Is that okay? Yeah, you can hear me. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand there looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers.
Thank you, Sharon. Let's just take a moment to pray. Father, we do thank you for your word, and Lord, I just pray now as we take a few minutes to consider it, I pray, Father God, that you'd speak to me, but also to each person here, Lord, that, Lord, we would hear what you're saying. Lord, what does it mean for us to fix our eyes on you today as we look at the lives of the disciples in this passage? What does it mean, Lord? What can we learn? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We see how the disciples in this passage, how they learn to fix their eyes on Jesus. Before he ascended to the Father, they could see him. He was there with them. And then after he ascended, they had to learn to trust him, to obey, to pray, and to wait. And over the last number of Sundays, we have been thinking about, from Easter really, from Jesus, from the resurrection, those who have encountered Jesus and how it changed their lives. And Luke here, he tells us at the start of this passage how Jesus has been with them for 40 days, and he had appeared to the disciples over this period of 40 days, and also how he's given them this command to wait for the gift that the Father has promised. But I love verses 10 to 11. Jesus has ascended to the Father, and then suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky?" I said this to Robert. What would you have said to them? Why do you stand here looking into the sky? Why do you stand here? Why are you standing looking up? When I was growing up on a farm with my siblings, as you know, or you've heard me say before, I have three brothers and a sister. And we grew up on a very busy farm back in Northern Ireland, and there was always jobs to do. Whenever it came to the end of our summer holidays, we were glad to get back to school because it was a rest. My dad always had lots planned for us. But one of the things my dad and my mum was always put to the front of us, always had at the fore, was that we were all involved. We all had our different jobs to do. We all had to pull our weight. And because there were five of us, two girls and three boys, as I say, we all had these different jobs. And very often I was my dad's assistant. I wore a coat with my welly boots, but I had this coat and had huge big pockets in the coat. And in the coat there would have been any different medicines that he needed to inject the pigs with or the sows with. So I was always his assistant coming behind. But one of the things my dad would have said to us, if any of us stood back, he would have said, "Don't just stand there, get stuck in." We were all expected to play our part. We all had a role. And if you think about the disciples here, they're standing, they're watching, they're observing. And sometimes in my life, there have been those times that I have slipped into that position where I stand back, I watch, I observe, a little unsure, maybe waiting for what God wants to do. And it's in that moment that we see here that the disciples, they're challenged. They're challenged by God. He interrupts them with this question. They didn't know what to do. And he says, "Why are you standing looking into the sky?" And maybe that's a question for me this morning, and maybe that's a question for you today. It's not about what his people are called to do. It's about keeping looking at what he has ahead for us. Fix your eyes on Jesus. So let's think a few minutes of this passage and what Luke maybe wants to say to us this morning, or what God wants to say. He makes it clear here that he talks about in verse 1, "I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach." And that word "began," it's so important because Luke's reminding us that when Jesus ascended to the Father, the work didn't finish. It's still going. It's still happening. And he continues to work through us, through his church, through his spirit at work in our lives and through us. So when Jesus went to the Father, the mission didn't stop. Instead, it expanded. And as we have said in these number, in a few weeks' time, we will be looking at the church in the book of Acts, and we're going to explore those turning points, those moments in Acts, wherever we see the life of the church and how God moved in those times. But Jesus ascended to the Father, and you and I, we continue his mission here on earth, in the place where God has positioned you. And if we think about our church this morning as Beacon Elim, we're not just here to keep things going, although that is good. We are not just here to keep things going, to maintain tradition. There are seasons indeed of maintaining, but there are also new seasons. And as Adam has already said this morning, we are embarking on a new season in the life of this church. That doesn't mean there was anything wrong with the past, but this is a new time. Do you not perceive it? Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. We've had a change, and I sense with you, as the people here, the church family at Beacon Elim, there's an anticipation. There's an expectation, not of me, because I'm with you, but of God and what he's going to do as we embark on this new season. Jesus is still at work in this town, in Malvern, in families and workplaces, and he has chosen to work through you and I. So the question is not, is Jesus still working? The question is, are we joining in what he's doing? Luke says to us, Jesus began to do and teach. And as Adam has already said, in a few weeks' time, we will have a vision meeting where I will get to share and the elders will get to share what we believe is going to happen or what God has for us in the next chapter. But there's no point in just me in that chapter. I need you guys to be in that chapter. God needs you to be in that chapter. So the question this morning isn't, what's my role? Rather, am I going to be part of this mission? Am I willing to step up? Am I willing to commit? God encourages us to keep looking ahead, to fix our eyes on Jesus, because he is still working. Tim Alford shared a story. Tim Alford leads up Limitless for Elim, and he shared a story during one of the business sessions that I was at with Amanda. And Tim shared about how he had this vision of gathering together young people, and that over 1,000 young people would get saved. And as you know, they run Limitless Festival every year. And they've had a testimony come through from one of the young people who was at Limitless Festival. And she said she had brought her two friends along with her to that. And they were not interested. They didn't know Jesus. She was a Christian, but her friends had no interest. They made it clear throughout Limitless Festival that they were not interested in what was happening. But anyway, during one of the sessions, this young girl with her two friends, she shared with Tim how she had scars on her hand from self-harming. And during one of the meetings, someone said, "We believe that God wants to heal in this meeting." And someone started to pray. And this young girl, the scars disappeared from her hands. She was healed and touched. And her friends were standing beside her, and they saw it happen. They saw her hand. They knew her life and how she had self-harmed. And they saw the scars. They disappeared. They both got saved and gave their lives to Jesus in that moment because God had really spoken to them. And as I listened to Tim that day, I thought, well, we can have that at Beacon Elim. We have already had healings in this church. Anne is sitting at the back and she has testified before of healings. Jesus has a mission for us. He is saying to us to keep our eyes fixed on him. He's still working. The disciples, they were standing, looking up. Why do you stand here looking into the sky? I don't want us to be a church that we stand looking into the sky. I want us to embark on this new mission, this new chapter, this new journey that God has for us. And you may think, okay, Trudy, that's okay for Tim Alford. That's okay for those guys. But then Luke takes us on. He says to us here, Jesus has said to the disciples, do not leave. There's an important element. Do not leave, but wait. Wait until God gives you the Holy Spirit. You think about them. You think that God is Jesus has told them to wait. And almost be like, oh, we need to get going. We need to be on this mission. We need to be on the move. But Jesus has said to them, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes in you, and you will be my witnesses. Whenever I applied for the role of a pastor here at Beacon Elam, I did say I'm the most unlikely person to take up this role because of my health. And you know all about my health. But you know, God has opened the door. And this is a God door that he has opened. And I believe that he has a mission for us as a church. And we're only embarking on it now. We're only starting to move out on this mission. It's nothing to do with me, nothing to do with the qualifications that I have. It's to do with God's Holy Spirit working in and through each one of us. Each one of us has a mission. And we're part of that. Jesus said, you know, go out, make disciples. You and I, we can't do it on our own. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. In a few weeks' time, we will share plans and ideas that we have, but we need God's Holy Spirit to be working in and through that. Sometimes we rely on those good ideas. There's nothing wrong with good ideas. We need ideas, but we also need the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through each one of us. So let me ask you this morning, what does it mean for you to fix your eyes on Jesus? What am I relying on? What are you relying on? What can you do? What can you say? What have you said to Jesus this week? I can't do that, Lord, because I don't know how to do it. I can't pray. I can't do that. I can't witness. Each one of us has the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. And each one of us has that opportunity to keep moving out, to be on mission for him. We don't have all the answers as we embark on this new season. There are some things we just don't know. There will be some things we try that won't work. But I do know that I see a hunger in the people that are before me. I hear a hunger in the people that are before me for the things of God. And as we embark on this new season, we need the Holy Spirit. We need to be seeking the Holy Spirit. We need to have that hunger in our personal lives, not just Sunday morning, but in our home life, in our devotional life. We're asking him to fill us afresh, that we have that hunger, that real hunger for him. So we see that the disciples, they fixed their eyes on Jesus as he ascended to the Father. But they knew that they still had work to do. And you and I know that his mission continues through us as Beacon Elam here in Malvern. In a week's time, we will have our swim and picnic up at the Elam International Centre. And it's so good to see so many of you have booked in or able to come along. But we also have Little Peeps families who are coming to that event. Now, there's one of those families would say to me and has said to me, I'll never come to your church. But they're coming to the swim and picnic. There's another family has said to me, I'll never come over into your church, Trudy, but they're coming to my induction service in 2 weeks' time. So God is at move. He is moving. He is working. We are on a mission, and I need you to be praying. I need to be praying. You need to be praying that over these next couple of weeks, what feels so impossible for us, that we fix our eyes on Jesus and we believe that he can do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all we ask or think. That family said, she said to me, I will never come to your church. But her and her husband are coming to my induction service. So let's pray. I need you to pray behind me, with me, as we move forward. And finally, in this passage, we see the disciples. So Jesus has said to them to wait. And they do. They wait. They join together in prayer as they wait. They know that Jesus has ascended to the Father. They've been asked, why are you standing there looking up? But they don't get stuck there. They head off. They go to prayer. They join together constantly. Luke tells us, constantly in prayer, they were praying, waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. They gather together. And it's so important as a church, as we gather here on a Sunday morning for prayer, whether it be in Zoom or in person, if you're not there, you are missed. And don't ever think, oh, I can't come to a prayer meeting because Trudy might pounce on me. It's not that sort of a prayer meeting. I want to encourage you to come, join us as we gather together when we pray. They did. They had this response. They joined together. They gathered. They prayed. They were ready. They positioned themselves. And I want to encourage myself, but also you, that we position ourselves, that we're ready as we embark on this new season as a church. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. What does that mean for you this morning? Let's just take a moment of silence. What does that mean for you today? What does that mean for us as a church as we fix our eyes on him? The disciples, they had to trust him. They had to obey, pray, and wait and follow him by faith. So this morning, as we now respond in worship, what's God saying to you today? What does it mean for you to fix your eyes on him? What does it mean for you today? Each one of us, it'll be something different. I would like us to be really open to what the Spirit is saying and what he's doing in our lives. But I'm also very aware this morning that I need a fresh filling of the Spirit. I want him to fill me afresh this morning. And if that's you and you feel comfortable, please do stand. And I want to pray and then we will worship together. But it's almost a stand. As you stand up, you're lifting your hands up and you're saying, Lord, I'm available. I need you. Fill me afresh. If that's you this morning, please do stand with me. Yeah, Lord, I do pray this morning that you would come afresh and fill us, Lord. Fill us afresh this morning, Lord. You see every heart in this room, Lord. You know us by name. Lord, you have numbered the hairs on our head, Lord. And Lord, we come, Lord, as hungry, Lord. We want more of you. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will fill us afresh. Ignite us, Lord, where it feels like we're dry, Lord, or there's fear. Lord, you will bring boldness, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that in our weakness, Lord, you will release power in each one of our lives. Lord, have your way. We want to fix our eyes on you. Lord, you would send us out from this place filled, empowered, and ready to do your mission for the place that you have positioned us. So, Lord, as we worship now, Lord, I pray you continue to speak, Lord, continue to move. In Jesus' name, amen.